Targets in Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
We are hearing of street battles now as the Israelis move further in, street battles between Israeli infantry, tanks, and Hamas gunmen who are emerging from their hideouts. So we just heard, in fact, that two Israeli soldiers have been killed.
And there are reports numerous people were killed after an Israeli strike hit a densely populated neighborhood in Gaza, leaving a massive crater and widespread damage. On Capitol Hill, members of President Biden's cabinet are pushing Congress for emergency aid. Here's CBS's Skylar Henry.
The secretary's testimony was repeatedly interrupted by protesters calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, something Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dismissed.
Just as the United States would not agree to a ceasefire after the bombing of Pearl Harbor or after the terrorist attack of 9/11, Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas.
He also claimed that Israel's ground campaign puts pressure on Hamas to release the more than 200 hostages still being held captive.
At another hearing, leaders warned about threats here in the U.S.
FBI Director Christopher Wray testified that there are concerns that the actions of Hamas in Israel will serve as an inspiration for violent extremist individuals or small groups
to carry out attacks against Americans going about their daily lives.
He adds that the agency cannot discount the possibility that Hamas may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks on American soil. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Well, it's what every kid doesn't want to hear when heading out trick-or-treating. Put a jacket on. It's cold. Dr. Jeff Pothoff with the University of Wisconsin says layer up because of the cold front that's sweeping the country.
Wonder Woman typically does not wear a fur coat, but, you know, it may be this year where the costumes are great, and I know our kids want to show off those costumes, but make sure they have appropriate winter attire if those temperatures are frigid.
And a reminder you likely don't need, but make sure you check through your kids' candy tonight.
He did the Monster Mash.
As kids make the rounds this Halloween, officials say the only scary thing in their stash should be the sugar content. So they're warning parents to check their kids' candy, searching for rips in packages, fake-looking items, and THC edibles that look like the real deal.
Trick or treat!
Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
Hour before the close, checking Wall Street, the Dow is up 130 points, NASDAQ's up 65, S&P 500 also up 27 points. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to oxfords or t-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here are the trick-or-treating hours in communities throughout central Wisconsin on Tuesday, October 31st. In Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Buren, 5 to 7 p.m. In Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. In Pittsville, 4 to 7 p.m. In Vesper, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. There will also be games and a movie at the Community Center in Vesper. Here's wishing everyone a safe and fun Halloween.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The West Riverview Expressway in Wisconsin Rapids will have single lane closures in the eastbound lane starting today. One lane will be closed between Chase Street and 2nd Avenue South for concrete pavement joint repairs, which began at 7 a.m. today. It should reopen by Friday, November 3rd at 3 p.m., pending weather conditions. Please use caution and expect delays. The Coats for Kids Drive is going on now. The Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis Club is holding the drive through November 10th. They're collecting new or gently used coats, snow pants, hats and scarves, gloves and mittens, winter boots, and socks. There are 5 collection spots. The Wood County Sheriff's Department, Key Savings Bank, Lowell Center, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and Members Advantage. If you want to become a sponsor, you can make a monetary donation to help cover the cost of cleaning. Donations can be mailed to P.O. Box 757, Wisconsin Rapids. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin heads to Bloomington to face the Hoosiers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 17. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 37 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 24.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 31st. 2023. Happy Halloween, everybody, from your host, James, here. At 3:30 today, we are going to welcome in our friend Craig Brorne, superintendent with Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Right now, sitting in studio with us, our great friend, Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Service Officer with Wood County Veteran Services. Rock, good to see you. How you been?
I've been fine. And yourself?
Doing good. Doing good. Thanks for asking. Appreciate you. Rock, I want to talk about Veterans Day. I want to talk a little bit about veterans and just some facts around that, if you wouldn't mind, today.
Yeah. Well, next week is Veterans Day, which is the, usually celebrated the 11th month, 11th day.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be on a Saturday this year, so that should be interesting. Federal holidays on the Friday, but I work for the county, so I'll be at my desk answering any questions and dealing with people. So Veterans Day started in World War One with the signing of the armistice for World War One, and that the whole history behind that, and then. But veterans are pretty much all people who served in the military, mm-hmm. whether they were like National Guard and reservists who were never called to active duty other than their training, up to those that served in combat and lost their lives, made the ultimate sacrifice. They have a special day, Memorial Day, that mm-hmm. honors those that died due to a service-connected disability and whatever. But this November, we celebrate all veterans, from all eras.
Mm-hmm.
Still a few World War II veterans alive and with us, and they have wonderful experiences.
I was watching a documentary the other day on landmarks or monuments in our country and the history of them and everything, because I'm a history nerd and I just love these kind of things. And it actually got me thinking about both my grandparents, my grandfathers, who were both Marines and served in Korea and World War II. And it got me thinking about the Korean War and how it took us so long to have a Korean War monument that was one of those, just historians calling it a forgotten war almost. And I don't feel comfortable saying that, but just using the terminology that they used. I was watching this, and I'm watching it just for the history and the monuments and such, and I come away from it. All I can do is think about both my grandpas and my papa lied about his age so that he could fight. He was 17. He lied about his age so he could. That's how much it mattered to him. When I think about our veterans, when I think about my grandparents and stuff, I know in talking with you, Rock, in talking with both of them, that there's a lot more we can do for our veterans. When it comes to your, yes, we're going to have parades on Veterans Day. We're going to have some celebration. We will see a lot of people, you know, being giving thanks. You're going to see a lot of American flags. All of that is great. I support all of that. But what can we truly do for our veterans? What is one of the greatest ways that we as citizens can help our veterans? One of the first things that comes to my mind is being intelligent with your vote. And knowing who, you know, the people that you are voting into office, how do they feel about veteran subjects? Where do they stand on this? I would think that that is one little thing, but that's just me and one thought that comes to my mind. I ask you, Rock, you know, what is something, or it doesn't have to be one thing, but what are things that we can do as citizens outside of, being a part of the parades and all these things that we can do for our veterans?
Well, boy, and it run, veterans run such a gambit.
And the needs for them, I imagine, do too. So it's a loaded question.
And what they need and what they understand and what they're willing to come and ask for are all different things.
Yes.
I mean, we've got wonderful programs that I and my staff work with the veterans and try to deliver them every day, but some come in. And say, well, other veterans are worse off than me and need it. And very few programs are funded in a way that when the funding's gone, somebody else isn't going to get it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's one thing. And, in fact, I like to make the when people come in and I say, well, are you enrolled in VA healthcare? We've got this wonderful clinic here in town. They say, well, no, other veterans need it more than me. And I said, well, the thing is, and we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. the thing is, like anything government, it's all about the numbers. Mm-hmm. If we don't have the numbers of veterans enrolled here in central Wisconsin, those resources are going to go to where the numbers are, whether mm-hmm. they're in Florida or Phoenix, Arizona, and we've all seen, their VA hospital system, mm-hmm. and whatever, in the news and mm-hmm. resources. And so we need the numbers to keep the resources mm-hmm. here that we're entitled to. If not, it'll be farther away. They've got great programs now where if they can't provide it here, they're going to contract it out. I mean, whether the veteran goes to Aspirus or Marshfield Clinic or any other GI mm-hmm. associates and all, the Tomah VA VA hospital will contract out to these, which is great. But the veterans need to know that in most cases we can find a way to get a veteran enrolled mm-hmm. into VA healthcare. And but also when you see a veteran struggling, whether it's homelessness or mental health or I used to like to tell people coming off of deployments that, everyone's going to think that you've got to think that you're okay. That's the way your mind works. Mm-hmm. But if your friends, your family, your employer, employees are saying, you're changed or you're not, mm-hmm. or maybe they're right.
Yeah.
Maybe they're wrong. Hopefully they are.
Mm-hmm.
But you owe it to yourself and you owe it to them and your family and whatever mm-hmm. for that veteran to say, well, maybe there's something here and I should talk to somebody. And we've got different ways. We got the Vet Center, which does readjustment counseling and just kind of says, well, let's take a look and see. Is there mm-hmm. something maybe going on? And it's totally confidential unless the veteran releases it. I mean, we can't get anything, and even the hospital can't get anything, mm-hmm. and your employer can't get anything, or your guard and reserve unit can't get anything. So those are great resources. Yeah.
It seems like one of the one thing that we can do, especially if you know a veteran, is just talking to them. Just reach out, just having a conversation, and you can gauge so much from that and how they're doing, possibly mental health wise and everything. I think it's an important note that you bring up that most of our veterans are not looking for help or not asking for it. So it's a good idea to have some insight, read between the lines. Could they use some help? Maybe encouraging them to seek help is not a bad idea, or at the very least being aware that they're in this situation, and at the very least maybe they're doing fine and things are okay. So you just had a conversation with a vet. I mean, that's not, there's no downside. Right. There's no side effect to this or anything like that. There's nothing but positives to something like that. I think that those are ways of doing this as well, of celebrating this important day in our country.
Definitely, especially those, you know, veterans, you know, the Vietnam era, Korean, World War II, they're often getting more and more isolated as their families, you know, unit gets more separated. Maybe their spouse passed away. So yeah, just talking, but respect, because sometimes they're not going to want to talk about,
yeah,
you know, you were in Vietnam. Well, don't push, you know, what would you do, yeah, in Vietnam? Did, yeah, you, did you kill anybody? Yeah. Did you get shot at? Well, those, if they want to volunteer, that they will.
Yeah, that's different.
Just be a receptive audience. They got some great stories, whether it's, yeah, out running the bars on R&R to something that may have been more horrendous, mm-hmm, and what they're willing to share. You just need to respect that. But yeah, just they're great people that gave, whether they were drafted, volunteered, whatever. And just because someone didn't go and serve in combat doesn't mean that their service, one, isn't valued. Mm-hmm. They might have just had decent karma and got to go to Germany and wait for the communist regime to decide to do, yeah, maybe what they're doing in, mm-hmm, Ukraine today. Mm-hmm. Which never happened, you know, coming over the what they call the Volga Gap in Europe.
Yeah.
So beer and schnitzel was a lot better than sea rations, mm-hmm, and jungle rot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was all on what, you know, the veteran didn't make that choice. Mm-hmm. The military service made the choice. Where do we need you?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when it comes to that documentary I was watching, the other thing that really hit me watching it is they're showing the World War II monument and talking about that, World War I. They're talking about these different monuments and how so there's like maybe 6-7 people by it. And then they show the Vietnam Memorial, and there's thousands of people there. And it speaks to not the popularity of these monuments, but the people that are still with us, that are able, right, to go to these monuments. And I had to look it up, and because it got me thinking about my own family, and I've lost one of my grandpas. My other one is still there, hanging on, hopefully a lot longer. And they're both, as I mentioned, World War II vets. So I'm looking into this. And every day, memories of World War II are disappearing from living history. The men and women who fought and won the great conflict are now in their 90s or older. And according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs statistics, 1,119,000 of the 16.1 million Americans who served in World War II are alive of 2023. And those numbers are even dwindling more and more as I speak. So when it comes to the idea of we're not losing this history. I mean, we've got the data, we have the information and everything, but there's a difference of I'm going to pull up a book and read about World War II and talking to somebody or hearing from somebody from World War II. And it's such a different world. It's two different things there. Both are important, but both are very different things. We're losing so many of our veterans. I'm curious. When it comes to their services, when it comes to the services specific for World War II veterans or these things, what happens with that? Do those services, do those things just kind of go by the wayside? Does the funding go to different places? Is there a specificness to this, or is it just kind of, you know, services are services?
Well, then I just gave a presentation to the Wisconsin Counties Association on this. The number of veterans are getting smaller, but the amount of money being spent by the federal VA for our services and benefits here in Wisconsin has gone up every year.
Okay, interesting.
In the past 20 years, its averaged increase was 17% each year.
Hmm.
There is here in Wood County $33 million of federal money last year went into veterans' bank accounts here in Wood County for disability or pension. Pension is a needs-based program for a wartime veteran. If their income is, I just had a Korean War veteran, and he's just doing a little bit better than the pension level. But if it would be, you know, they could have brought him up, you know, when you're living on, there's a married couple in there. Looking here.
Rock's looking through notes here.
Looking at the notebook. I mean, they make about a little over $2,000 a month.
Okay.
But if they only made like $1,600 a month, the VA would be able to give them another $150 a month. And that changes if the veteran's health is more precarious, whether they're homebound or require aid and attendance, it goes up. So that's income, less out-of-pocket medical expenses. So that's a pension program. So if someone's low income or they're the widow of a veteran and low income with high medical expenses, VA pension might be something. VA compensation is for, I broke my ankle in service, it's locked up now, I get a disability compensation for my bad ankle. Go ahead.
It seems like I hear something like that, Rock, and that's one of the first, like, other than when you and I get together and talk, it's some of the first good news I've heard regarding this subject, you know? From your perspective, have we gotten better about this as far as the government, as far as taking care of our veterans? I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, I'm sure, but have you seen improvement in the last 5, 10, 15 years regarding this subject?
It's a roller coaster because some things are improving, some things are getting harder. Like right now, we talked earlier about the PACT Act in a previous episode, which is the Toxic Exposure Act. So, I mean, it is just flooding the VA compensation, and my desk and my staff's desk were
overloaded, I imagine.
Overloaded, we're behind. Yeah. We still want to have everybody come in. One of my assistants said, I think we should go to appointments only. I said, no, because if someone's in the courthouse to pay their property tax, to go to court, to do whatever, and they say, oh, the veterans office, I've been meaning to stop in, I want to see them. And I've had people, I had a guy come in for a simple veterans identifier on his driver's license. And I talked to him about the PACT Act, that he actually was in Guam, and he does have 2 or 3 cancers and diabetes and all these Agent Orange things. And, you know, anything that gets him in, we're going to look at everything and try to figure out how we can best serve that. I did mention the $33 million. That was part of $68 million overall coming into Wood County, and that's our VA clinic and all the health care that they're providing through there. Could be education benefits or other, and that's just on the federal side. So it's real money. It's but is it improving? I think what's improving is myself and my peers. We have better tools to make these claims and to follow through. We now have access to the VA claims system, so we could go in and see the file, where it used to be we'd fire and forget. We'd send off a claim, and maybe in a year and a half something would come back, and we hoped it was positive, and it was awarded. Now we can see it, and we can point out where they missed something or what the mistakes are or whatever. But the federal VA, they're trying constantly. I mean, I was on the news on TV
saw this
a while ago.
You did a nice job.
Talking about a new automated program where they're reviewing things and kind of loading and trying to get things done faster. But in the meantime, they didn't think it all the way through. There's some minor glitches and whatever, and they're working on that. In fact, I've got a call actually someone else saw that, one of our legislators, and their staff will be talking to me this afternoon. But also as a result of that, I've got some guy out of Washington, D.C. that works for the VA on automation and the veteran service organizations, and he wants to talk to me about how they can improve that. Well, I was one of the original 150 in the nation that got access to the first VA data system as a pilot test. And that's due to our national association and stuff. The sitting president at the time was from Wisconsin, so so that's kind of how I got the luck of the draw. So I've been with this for probably 10, 12 years that we've had access. The systems are growing. It's so big. I mean, it's so big. It's so complicated. by complicated, I mean, because they're spending our money. They're spending our tax dollar. Yeah. And they have to do that appropriately. Mm-hmm. And they have to put the checks and balances and make sure someone's not creating fraud, but without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, too. Yeah. I mean, it's a big job the federal VA has, both the benefit side, which is compensation and education and things like that, and the healthcare side. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And our staff here in Wood County, and we're blessed. Well, next time you talk to Lance, I know he comes on, say Rock thanks him for the support the county's given our office and our veterans. And I can't say enough. 20 years I've been working here, and they've been very supportive. They've never really said no to anything. But
that's really encouraging to hear.
So, I mean, I'm not asking for pie in the sky.
But that is encouraging to hear.
Yeah, they've been very supportive here at the county. And each county staffs their office differently. And has different expectations of us. So, I mean, what you get here in Wood County, I hope is as good or better than anywhere else. And it certainly is in some areas. So.
We're speaking with Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Services Officer. Rock, got about 5-6 minutes left of show. Are there any headlines? Are there any tidbits that we have on the latest on services for our veterans? Is there any recent information that we could get out there for people or anything that comes to mind as far as it's new information to you? I know these things are ever changing, so
it's always changing, and we've got a lot of good work with. And she was in yesterday. Our Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program is a state program, and it can help. It's basically for veterans who are having problems, whether it's mental health or homelessness, substance abuse. And what's nice about that is that program does not have to, the veteran does not have to meet the federal VA requirements. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can help people who were in the reserve component and never mobilized, people who may have gotten bad paper, meaning other than honorable discharge. Mm-hmm. They're really a great resource. They're intensive case managers, which takes that load off of me trying to fix their issues, where I can pass them over to Katie. Katie can, they've got clinicians. Mm-hmm. They can work all sorts of wonderful things. And then that frees me up for the day-to-day work of reading somebody's 500 pages of medical records and looking for that evidence to highlight for the VA so they can do their job quicker and faster. And so VORP is a great program here in the state. So that's fairly new. In the last year, the governor upped their staffing, but it wasn't included in the budget. Well, it was included in the budget he proposed. It was not included in the budget adopted by the legislature. Mm. So those positions at the end of 2024, because it was using American Recovery Act funds will go away unless something changes. So we talked to our legislators about, if you can think about funding this somehow.
Yeah.
Because the biennium budget goes for another year after that, so they will have to cut those staff. And then we will be waiting longer for them to show up because they'll come up, they'll cover larger regions.
They're good programs, they're good things to learn about, especially because I'm sure that I'm not alone in seeing these stats. This is certainly the suicide rate numbers have gone up for all adults, but specifically the average number of veteran suicides per day rose from 16.4 in 2001 to 16.8 in 2022. And these numbers have only gone up. So the more things that we have, services we have available for our veterans when it comes to mental health, and these that's money well spent. That's important. That's good to hear that there are programs, there are services that are becoming more and more available.
Well, in that, definitely 988. Mm-hmm. And I think there's I think you press 1 to get to strictly a veteran lane.
Yeah.
In addition, our crisis here in the county, they just called me yesterday on a veteran. We work with them. There are resources out there for everybody, but if we can use VA resources for the veteran, that will then free up those limited mental health resources for the rest of our people in the community, too. So that's one of the things working with through as a veteran, as opposed to, you know, you're still a citizen, you're entitled to that other stuff. Right. But if we can use VA resources, it will free up other local resources for.
It's a really good point, Rob.
For someone else in the community.
Keep in mind, Veterans Day is November 11th, coming up right around the corner. Plenty of ways to celebrate and to honor our veterans. Rock, always appreciate the time from you. Always love talking to you, sir. And thank you very much for everything you do for our community, for our veterans, for our state, really. Rock, if people have follow-up questions and want to, you know, ask you anything.
I was just going to say, give us a call, 715-421-8420. Please leave a message. Don't call back in 3 minutes because... You know, if we didn't answer the first time, it's probably because we're with somebody or like in-depth thought trying to fight VA law to help a veteran. And we will get back to you. It may take a couple days, but we will get back to you. Please call us.
VA.gov is the website. If you'd like to also go to the website and look up some information as well, VA.gov. Again, thank you, Rock. Say hi to everybody, the whole team over there for us, okay?
Will do.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Midday Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, November 1st. The Wood County Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. In Portage County, the county board meeting will take place at 5 p.m. in the county board chambers at the courthouse. They will hold the public hearing on the 2024 budget. You can attend in person or by video. The Stevens Point Board of Park Commissioners will hold their regular meeting at 6:30 in the community room on Michigan Avenue. The Village of Whiting Personnel Committee meeting will take place at 8 a.m. at the Village Municipal Center. The Adams County Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 6 at the courthouse in County Boardroom A230. Don't forget, you can trick-or-treat inside tonight at the McMillan Library in Wisconsin Rapids from 4 to 7:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 17. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 37 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 24. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin heads to Bloomington to face the Hoosiers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 31st, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. I am joined in studio by some great people. We have our good friend, Craig Broren, superintendent of Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools with us. Craig, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you. And you brought a friend in. We have principal of Meade Elementary, Amber Appleby, with us. Amber, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate this. Have you here, especially, we have to note this, it's Halloween. We have two people from our public school system here. So right away, do want to hit on, please keep a lookout for kids today when you're Halloween trick-or-treating or you're just driving around or anything like that. Keep a lookout for vampires, ghouls, Paw Patrol, Dora the Explorer. I'm really dating myself. My kids are older, so I don't know modern cartoons. Keep a lookout for all the little guys out there and little girls and guys out there and everything, and have some fun, everybody. So I wanted to kick off talking about Meade Elementary. Great school. Wonderful place. We love that school. Love all of our local schools around here. Amber, what's the news with Meade? What's going on over there? What can you tell us about the school?
Absolutely. We've got some great things going on over at Meade, especially this year. One of our celebrations is, you know, we had very little turnover from our staff from last year to this year. So we've been able to kind of hit the ground running with a lot of the same teachers and staff that we've had. So, that always helps, you know, kids not having to deal with a lot of different change.
Yeah.
And really just move the needle a little bit more with that. The kids that we have are wonderful. You know, they come in ready to learn, so excited. You're never going to get more hugs than you do at Meade when you come on in. They're ready to just love up on you. So that's wonderful. And, you know, I've never worked with a harder working staff. You know, they're willing to just go the extra mile, you know, and we do have some kids that need that extra mile, and they are more than willing to just boots on the ground, get in and do it. So
very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Impressive to hear about the turnover, the lack of, I should say.
Right.
Craig, is that something that we have a lot of in this area of turnover, of losing teachers and getting new teachers in or that? It's something statistically that I see throughout the nation is an issue that I think plenty of news outlets have covered. But just curious, locally here, is that something that we run into quite a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It's higher now than it has been. We had a peak of 68 professional positions that we hired, not for this year, but for the year prior. And that's pretty significant. So we have about 380 professional staff members, that's teachers, counselors, school psychologists, that kind of thing. And so typically we've seen between, say, 20 and 30, maybe mid-30s in terms of new hires that we have to do each year. Our staff, when I started here, skewed towards the older end of the spectrum, which I think is a credit to WRPS, because most of the staff that we had would stick around for a 25 to 35-year career, right? And that's changing a bit. So, there is higher turnover in schools in general. With Meade in particular, the turnover at Meade, because I guess I can't emphasize this enough with regard to the demographic that Meade serves. And that is the fact that there's definitely some challenging kids. Now, we have circumstances in all of our school facilities that, you know, Meade is not an outlier in that regard, because, of course, there's kids with a confluence of issues that we see in schools in this day and age. But nonetheless, Meade is one of our schools that serves a very diverse population, as well as a high socioeconomically disadvantaged population, approaching, it's over 80%. So that's significant. And that aspect and that nature of demographic has a tendency to elicit turnover, and I'm not, that's not meant to make any kind of derogatory, you know, commentary to the demographic, but just to say that it's hard. It's super hard. You know, teaching is hard. Being involved in public education is hard. And with very complex kids in difficult circumstances is taxing, unbelievably taxing. And that is absolutely a contributor to some of the turnover. Now, with that being said, when I first started here in Rapids in 2017, there was typically requests to move out of Meade, you know, a handful each year, because we have an internal transfer process, as well as, of course, you hire positions as people retire. And we've made it an effort to not unilaterally transfer people to buildings that they don't want to be in, right? Mm-hmm. We think that an employee that's placed appropriately where they feel they want to be is a better employee than mm-hmm. where we're telling them they need to be.
Sure.
Now, with that being said, we do find ourselves in circumstances in which we are required to do that yeah. on occasion, but it's quite rare. And so clearly, if you want somebody to work at Mead, you want them to want to be there, right?
Right.
And if there was folks that requested to transfer out, if we had the opportunity, most of the time we would honor that. So there would be, I would say, 3 or 4 staff members per year that would transition out of Mead and then get filled in by right. new hires or other right. district employees.
Mm-hmm.
And recently that has changed to
right.
the degree where there was 0 this past year. And in my time here, I don't believe that's happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include internal transfers as well as retirements or resignations. Mm-hmm. And so I think that speaks to the leadership of Mead.
Absolutely.
That also speaks to the staff there.
Mm-hmm.
And Amber mentions this. As the superintendent, clearly I have purview over all of our facilities, but I do not have direct involvement in Mead mm-hmm. any more than I have direct involvement in any of our buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you as kind of a bit of an outside observer with a clearly vested interest, right, mm-hmm. and a responsibility, that the Mead staff is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
They are absolutely unbelievable. And we have fantastic staff in all of our buildings.
Yep.
But this is not meant to play favorites. They are incredible.
Yeah,
because there is a significant number of students with complex issues and families with complex issues, and that staff comes together
yep,
and makes it work for our
day.
Kids
mm-hmm.
because they know they're our kids.
It's it would be impressive just on its own to not have any turnover, to not have any new positions to hire
Correct.
Or anything. With the factors that Craig mentions there about the type of demographic,
mm-hmm.
the type of kids there, I find that even more, like beyond impressive.
Yep.
And I want to be clear about this. I'm coming from a place, I was that knucklehead kid.
Yep.
I was that troublemaker and all that.
Yep.
I moved to this state and I couldn't wait to let people know what I was about and everything because I was like a lot of kids at that age,
mm-hmm.
Angry and didn't even know why and dealing with a lot of
mm-hmm.
turmoil and trauma that I had not faced yet and those
yep.
things. And then I come to Washington Elementary.
Yeah.
And now when I was going to Humpke, I had some troubles there. And I had a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstandings. And it was a difficult time. So I came into Washington here in Rapids
yeah.
with a chip on my shoulder and could not be more of like, well, what are these guys going to teach me? What is this going to be? And I was fortunate enough to have a teacher a principal like Mr. Orlowski.
Yeah.
Who did you know him?
Yep.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
O. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That man will always mean a lot to me because he was one of the first people that I can't remember what it was, but I got into a fight or something, and he called just me into the office, not the other kid I got in the fight in. And I immediately remember, I still remember it like it was yesterday. Oh, I'm the one he calls in.
Yeah.
He called me in because the other kid he had already talked to. And he wanted to have just a simple one-on-one conversation with me. And when I walked in there, he didn't ask me why I caused the fight, what was wrong with me, didn't punish me, didn't yell at me. He immediately asked, how are you?
Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Yeah. Are you okay? What's going on? How you been? How are you adjusting to school? All these things. I'll never forget. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it because it's the first time in my life anybody, an adult, had really done that for me.
Yep.
And immediately from that point on, I was still a bit of a knucklehead, don't get me wrong,
right.
but I started to grow from that. I started
mm-hmm.
to learn from that. You have the same staff as you did last year, and
mm-hmm.
having that turnover, having that consistency, especially for this type of child, this type of student,
exactly.
how big of a factor is that?
It's huge because then kids know, like, am I going to have you next year? And that teacher might actually be there. And they can return knowing that this might be my third grade teacher and I'm going to see you next year. That is huge. You know, in many of our kids' backgrounds, it's unpredictable, you know. And so having that predictability at school is huge. In addition to that, it's our teacher teams. You know, our teachers can go across the hall to anywhere, not just their teaching partners, but anywhere across the hall and know that
mm-hmm.
they've got a shoulder to lean on, someone to bounce an idea off of. The amount of trust that we have among our staff is mm-hmm. huge. And then that, it, you know, kind of bleeds into the students. They can see that, you know, the staff lean on one another, trust one another. And so the students then feel comfortable to do that with the staff and with each other.
Mm.
And it just creates an amazing school community and a supportive school community that we're just really moving along now. over there.
Human beings, our brains seek out routine. We want routine. Exactly. It's common for us. It's normal for us. It's reassuring in many ways.
Yeah.
Even though we are some years removed from it, the pandemic really threw a lot of that stuff off and everything, to where we're just kind of now, if not, you know, maybe a year ago, starting to get things kind of back. So you throw all these factors in there, and then you have the type of kids, the type of students that you have at Mead.
Yep.
So having that routine, that consistency, that seems like it would be one of the more important jobs for a principal there.
Absolutely.
Is that the case? Is that how that works?
Absolutely. And I think you nailed it too, just building that connection. You know, when you talked about your experience with Mr. O, it's building those connections with kids and letting them know that, yeah, we're here to teach you stuff, but we're also here for you in general. We teach the whole child. We work with the whole child, and in developing those connections, developing that. And then they know that we're going to show up for them every day. On their bad days and their good days, we are there. And we're, you know, everyone has a good day. Everyone has a bad day. Sometimes you just don't, you know, you roll out of the wrong side of the bed, right? Mm-hmm. And so teaching those tools of how to handle that, you know, having that social emotional piece to it as well as the academic piece to it is huge, because then kids have those skills. They come in knowing that they're cared for and that they have that well-rounded piece, and that consistency all around is definitely very supportive and helpful for them.
Craig, we're just kind of getting going here into the school year. How are things going so far from your perspective?
Pretty well. So it's been, I'm going to say, knock on wood, a bit quieter this year than the last few. I think we all recognize what transpired in the last few years.
Yeah.
But this idea of getting back to normal, as it were, I think that was the commentary for last year. And frankly, it was not. It was a very abnormal year for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But it certainly seems like things are a bit more calm, generally speaking, in the community and clearly within the schools too. There's always going to be ups and downs. There's going to be things that happen, right? Some are in our control, some are beyond our control. But I think what we have, shown to the community is that we're going to be as proactive as we can. We're going to communicate, and we're going to try to make it better if it's something that we have control over. And, you know, that's, I guess, the best you can hope for.
In the last couple of years, I would say last 2 years or a year and a half, I've had two different weird scenarios happen with fellow teachers of mine. I teach a improv, acting, and writing.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm not a real teacher, but I sort of, a little bit. With teachers, I've had these situations. I had one teacher who had been doing this 20-some years, and she just she had enough, and she was done. And so she stopped teaching. She's I think she has an Etsy account or something like that now that she's doing and everything, because she kind of got burnt out. Another friend of mine who has been maybe about 5 or 10 years less than she had been couldn't be more invigorated and couldn't be more excited about education and the future of that and where that's going. That's I meant to mention the lady beforehand. One of her problems was that dealing with the parents of students that we have. We're dealing with 18, 19, 20 year olds. I am. And sometimes their parents are still reaching out to us and asking, you know, are our child's getting their money's worth and things like this and everything. I can't imagine what it is like on a grade school, high school level when it comes to that. Talking to a lot of our locals around here, and especially people that call into the show, I like to ask, I like to talk about, hey, do you have students in school? How is that going? How is it going with teachers? And for me, from my perspective, I would say in the last year, there has been a lot of change with that. I've heard a lot more of positivity. I've heard a lot more from people. Even when I hear from somebody that has an issue or something, they're talking about it like an adult. They're talking about it in a rational voice and everything. That's what I'm seeing. I'm curious, how about for you guys? Are you seeing more of this? Are we getting things back to a little bit more of a balance with the relationship between parents and students, or parents and teachers, parents in public, you know, like superintendent and that? Are you guys seeing that?
Well, and I think parents are always doing the best that they possibly can, right? You know, we all have a lot on our plates at any given time. And so, you know, whenever they're reaching out, it's always in the best interest of their child. And they're definitely trying to come from a place of understanding. And, you know, we use a variety of form of communication. And we have a Seesaw app that we use that gives parents better direct access to teachers. So it's a quick, you know, they can open up an app on their phone, do a quick message, almost like a text to the teacher. And that, I think that helps parents feel more informed. And, you know, know, same thing, teachers can quick snap a picture to say, hey, here's what your kids are doing. Kids, you know, I think parents just want to feel informed. They want to feel in the loop. They want to feel included. So as long as we're doing our due diligence in schools of communicating that, for the most part, it's going great. I mean, parents do, you know, obviously have concerns here and there. For the most part, we can easily work it out. You know, if they call in with concerns, and we always reach out or encourage parents to reach out if they have any concerns, to talk to us directly about it. You know, it's you know, you can always stew on something, but you're never going to fix it if you just stew on it to yourself or to your, you know, your friend group. So reach out to us, and we will more than willing to work out with you on it. And I've never had a situation with a parent where we haven't been able to come to some sort of a resolution. And again, they're always coming from a place of wanting to help and wanting the best for their kids. And I think that's, you know, always just to keep in mind that, you know, we are all doing it for the kids, and we all want what's best for the kids, and we are all a team working in the same direction. So, I mean, I see that every single time whenever we, you know, as long as we have that mindset in place of what's best for our kids and we're all on the same team, which is team students and team kids, then, you know, it always works out for us.
Well said. Craig, from your perspective?
Yeah, I think the temperature is generally cooled. I can, you know, tell you that I haven't been told I should die or need to die.
In the last year.
So, I mean, and up until, you know, recent history, I would say that never happened in my 14-year career as a superintendent. But, hey, you know, things change. But I think we're past that now. We're back to some more normal behavior. There's a definite shift, right? So back in the day, and my parents are baby boomers, right? They're born in the 40s. And they their expectation of parenting and their kids is vastly different than mine is, although I am a bit of a traditionalist in terms of my expectation of my own kids. But and point being made is that, look, you know, you are required to go to school, right? I had smashed my index finger off my right hand as a kid. And when I say smashed it off, I mean it was hanging on by a piece of skin. And then it was put back on, wrapped up, and they said, hey, let's come back in a couple weeks. If it's still there and not black, we'll leave it on. If it is black, we're going to cut it off. That was the game plan for the medical treatment.
Dang.
I raised that because guess where I was the following day after that was done? In school. And I wasn't on any kind of drugs. They said, take Tylenol if there's a lot of pain. And trust me, if you've smashed a digit, there's a lot of pain. But no, I was in school. And that's because my mom, it wouldn't matter. No, go to school. That attitude is a bit different in this day and age for many parents, which is unique. It's different. We're struggling with attendance. We're struggling with truancy. And very clearly, I don't know what you're going to read or see or some rhetoric that you might hear or see, you know, in various areas around the state. School attendance is 100% a parental responsibility. Our responsibility is to be open and provide the services. I mean, we will even come get you. That happens too.
We've done that before.
We've done that more than just the bus routes, right? So, I mean, there's things we can do, but for the love of God. It's a parent deal. You know, parents got to get their kids ready and get them out the door. This idea that my kid won't go to school is not really a thing. I mean, I don't want to tell you what would have happened to me. And I can tell you what would happen to my kids if they woke up and said, no, I'm not going today. I have more power than you. And you're going to go. So it's an interesting dynamic. But with what Amber said, if our focus from the parental perspective and the school perspective is from what's best for that kid. And it's not because we said so. It's common sense, right? When a kid's in school, they get socialization. They get interaction with peers. And, of course, the academics and all of the other pieces. We know that we need that now more than ever, right? And we also don't need a lack of responsibility for one's own focus and pursuits. Because ultimately, my circumstance is a direct result of me. Someone else's circumstance is a direct result of them. And this blaming everybody and everything aside from, you know, holding yourself accountable and making changes that are advantageous is what we need to move away from. So there's that interesting dynamic. However, if you pare it down to what parents care about, they care about their kids. There's
Absolutely.
No question.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about identifying what these priorities are and figuring out how we can work together to make those things happen.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and we saw some of that last year. We started an attendance club, which will continue this year, too, for some kids that did struggle with attendance. Mm-hmm. And we would send home alarm clocks with kids. And we'd say, okay, if your bus picks you up at this time, you should set your alarm clock for this time. You should come to school. You know, and this was geared more towards kids that were having some truancy issues. And they, you know, we would reflect. And we started tracking their attendance. You know, stickers. We were even bribing with candy bars occasionally. You know, tried to get them to come to school. And they were noticing, hey, when I come to school, I can do the fun things. When I miss those couple of days, all they give me is these worksheets to make up. I can't dissect the owl pellet when I'm not there. You know, I can't do the field trip when I'm not there. The fun things I miss out on, and the friendships and all of that. And so they really came to understanding the real, like, nitty gritty part of school, not just the book work and the worksheets and all of that, but the actual real authentic part of being in school is needed. You have to be there to get that part. And so they came to that realization on their own, being a part of this club. And so we're going to continue that group again this year. And actually, every kid that was in the attendance club last year no longer has an attendance issue this year. So we're hoping we're going to continue that moving forward with more kids this year, because we need them in school. So that would be, parents, if you can do anything to help us out, get your kid to school on time every day. That's the number one thing we need.
Yeah. You get what you put into things in life, and it's one of the biggest things you learn from a young age as a child, and you learn that from probably usually watching your parents and watching adults. I mean, they're sponges. Mm-hmm. The way you want your child to turn out is the way you should be handling your own self and your own acting and the way you treat people and everything. And certainly the idea that, well, one day they're going to have to work. They're going to have to go to a job, and they're not going to want to do that every day, but there are days where you just got to you know, suck it up and do it.
Exactly.
You learn that in school. There's plenty of days. I love learning. There were plenty of days where I couldn't wait to get to school, and there were plenty of days I did not want to go to school. But my mom and dad, very similar to yours, Craig, I was going every day. Yep. There was no way I was missing, unless of obvious reasons.
Right.
That's something that modern-day parents have to instill, have to show their kids. It is building them to be good adults, to be good citizens,
Absolutely.
To be able to put back into the world. That's what this is all about. Part of that lesson is the little things that you do just by leading by example in that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the time to really get into one of the subjects I wanted to, but I would like to, the next time you join us, Craig, talk about a little bit more about bullying and the how that is going in our area. I've heard some really positive things about that and some real encouraging things about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like most adults, you know, I also see headlines and that. So I really like to get into that topic the next time we have enough time.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a good one. As of right now, we're wrapping up, just a couple of minutes left. Amber, are there any events, any things going on over at Mead that we want to let people know about, or just anything fun going on over there that you want to let us know? How are you guys celebrating Halloween this year, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, we don't do the costumes at school. You know, we save that for the trick-or-treating fun after school.
Yeah,
but this afternoon, kids will be getting a couple extra snacks, I'm sure. Probably a video or two, games, bingo. I know that's going on in a couple of classrooms. So just some things to build that classroom community, you know, give some things for kids to look forward to. Because always, whenever we can spend some time together, that's, you know, that quality community time is always important. So.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
Absolutely.
Amber, if people have follow-up questions or anything like that, they just whether they have a kid in school at Mead or not, maybe they just enjoyed hearing you talk, how can people reach you? How can they contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they can always check out the Mead Facebook page. You know, that's where we like to try to highlight some of the fun things that we do in our building from day to day. In addition to that, you can always call us, you know, over to the Mead office, and Miss Gail, our secretary, Miss Stacy, will get you connected to me. Email is always a great way to shout out as well.
Thank you, Amber. Yeah. Thank you very much for the time and joining us today.
Absolutely.
I feel a little bit like when I have students come in and they want me to keep them as long as I can so they don't have to go back to school. Like, you can stick around for a little while if you want. No. Thank you again, Amber. Appreciate the time. Craig, similar question. People have follow-up questions, want to get a hold of you. How can they do that?
So our website, wrps.org, and also 715-424-6701 is my direct line.
We've got a lot of great, we're really fortunate in this area. We have a lot of great nonprofits, a lot of great businesses putting back into this community, doing some vital and really good work. I just got to talk to Rock and talking about Veteran Services and the great work that group does here and everything. I don't know if anybody is doing more vital work in this community than you guys and your staffs and the people that are working in our schools. This is the future. This is what it's all about. We plant trees not to see them grow, but for children to see them grow. That's what this is all about. We are planting trees right now. Appreciate the work that you guys are doing. Keep up the great work. Have a fun Halloween, and thank you very much for hanging out with us for a while.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, James.
We'll come back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow for you right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. An Israeli strike aimed at Hamas militants hit a refugee camp in Gaza, leaving dozens dead. CBS's Remu Innocencio is in Tel Aviv.
The idea there is that that could house many of the leaders of the Hamas terror group, and they're trying to, of course, bomb them out. And so there's a large concentration of those tunnels in the northern part of the enclave, and that's why the IDF continues to pound them.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken addressed a Senate committee today about the crisis in the Middle East.
All of us are committed to the protection of civilian life. All of us know the suffering that is taking place as we speak.
Feels like winter. Here's meteorologist David Parkinson.
There are freeze warnings and frost advisories in effect for much of the eastern half of the United States.
That means kids may have to wear a dreaded jacket over their Halloween costumes while trick-or-treating tonight. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican lawmakers are moving ahead with a $2 billion tax cut that Governor Evers is certain to veto. The bill would cut the individual income tax rate in the third bracket from 5.3% to 4.4%. Evers vetoed a similar proposal in the state budget. The bill would also increase a state income tax credit for those who claim their kids as dependents on their federal taxes. More teenagers are getting jobs in Wisconsin. The number of young people applying for work permits went up by 27% between 2019 and last year. That represents more than 37,000 workers. Republican lawmakers are trying to eliminate